Okay. One of the key areas, I believe, for entering into joy is taking back our own lives. It sounds stupid, but many of us have just passively, not meaning to, given up our lives. And it often happens in Christian circles. We're wanting to surrender and we're wanting to let God work. But we often become passive and we come under the law. And one of the ways, you know, when we've been entangled with other people, for example, is returning to God means returning to me. It takes two people to make relationship. And God is there waiting for us. But many times when there's a block, where's God? It's actually us that aren't there. We're coming to the meeting place with a plastic face. You know, and if I'm shut down, if there's something wrong with my relationship with God, I'll check. Am I here? No. I'm going through the motions, but my heart is a long, long away. And I'm going ahead, but we need to come back to our heart and let God be where we are with our own heart. So it's embracing God's gift of who He made me to be and choosing to be that created person and in God's strength becoming free and becoming me. There is no one else that can take your place in the Father's heart, but you need to be there to take it, not just going through the motions, not just being plastic, but being real. Okay. Instead of rejecting the life that God has given me, it's taking that life back. Okay. Still going on with verse 1. Horrors, oh horrors. Keep and protect me, O God, for in you I have refuge, or in you I trust, and in you do I put my trust. And one of the meanings of trust is to confide in. When I first became a Christian, I would sort my life out and then I'd go to God. And God was kind of like shaking me loose from that. And I need to be with God where I am. I just love this picture of this father and daughter together. It's entrusting your heart to God, revealing your inner being, pouring out, making known nothing hidden. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, pour out your heart before the Lord. And it talks about spewing it out. God wants us to be where we are with Him. And like we're told to be like little children. Little children don't get themselves sorted out then say, hello mommy, hello daddy. They go pouring out to with where they are. They get met. And then out comes, I love you mommy, I love you daddy. And that worship comes from a heart that has let its needs be met with God. The word people often say to me, but God knows it anyway. Why bother saying it? It's about interaction. It's about connection. And even God can't fill a filled space. If your heart is filled with hurt and grief and sorrow, there needs to be expression many times to get it out so that God can get in there. We can't receive when we're toughing it through. It's hardened to tough through. You with me? God wants us to be able to confide. The intimacy of saying things. You know, sometimes I say things that I know are ridiculous to my head. I can be so upset with myself with something I've done. And I'll go on and on. Sick of it, sick of it, sick of it, sick of it, sick of it. And I know that God is not mad with me, but I am. And I actually have to pour it out before, and I'll look at him. And there'll be just such a sense of him smiling with me, almost laughing with me, not laughing at me, but laughing with me as I'm getting it out. Because I'm getting out the disappointment and the grief of muddling it up or something. Then I can settle down. And then he can meet me. Ah. And I get up having been met, having been with God. I could spend the day in face-to-face intellectual discussion. And I wouldn't be changed a bit because it's only whatever's born of the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Spirit to Spirit. And God wants to be with you in your into the core of your being. That's where intimacy comes. That's where life comes. That's where healing comes. And I believe it's one of the reasons why we're not experiencing, you know, heart healing and physical healing so often, is because the heart is shut down, and then the life is not able to flow through. Pour out our hearts. We need to. And I can some of the things I go on about are really stupid, but they're where I am, even if I know that that is stupid, and I have to get rid of it to let God give me perspective, or let God just forgive myself. You with me?
Yeah, I am.
It's about intimacy. And I'm sure it's different intimacy, men and women, but as a woman, I know that my heart can get all blah, 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 and have to get it unlocked. I have to get it poured out. You with me? Good. Okay. Pour out your heart like a child being with God, wherever you're at. Or do you try to sort yourself out your own way and then come back to God? Oh, God, I can tell you these things. Any of you find that you laugh when you're hurting, and you're smiling when you're sad, and you put on a plastic play face, lifting up your shield? Poor God. Or being real. I think I've actually got those the wrong way up. But still. Supposed to be the plastic. Oh, no, it's not. That's right. The plastic face is turned upside down. Yes. The Bible says you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Saying what's in the heart. You know, even someone I'm upset with, and I could go on and say, she's this and she's that, or God, I'm bugged to the eyeballs. And I find often with my, sorry for that expression, but often even with requests for prayer, etc., and I just feel at the end of my tether, and sometimes I'll say to God, God, I'm sick of it. I can't pray about that. I'm tired of it. And then, but you're there, and you can help me. And God, can you help her? And that simple prayer comes because it's heart to heart. I could be very religious and pray very religious prayers coming out of a heart that's resentful for the next demand this person keeps making. But she needs to make them because that's where she is. And that's what God has got me to walk at this moment. And I just need grace. But it's only being able to be real that I can actually say, I haven't got the resources to pray that, God. I mean, can you just meet her? Ah. And then I want her to be met. And then I can probably pray something else if I need to. But it's real. So it's letting a mask feel. I'll drop at least. Being with God in my mess and in my stress, in God's rest. When we pray for a heart revelation, and we get a heart revelation, we often are worse than before. 1, 2, 3, moan. Anyone else discovered problems they didn't even know they had? Me? Many. But the freedom out of that. And also, if we let God put his finger on stuff that's been buried for a long time, it may be that there are piles of that we've been stuffing down and being good Christians through. And God has to take us back to those areas to sort them out and to grow us through. And sometimes we find areas of immaturity, we find areas of lack, of barrenness, of grief, of resentments that we didn't know we had. Now we can get shocked like I did with mine, or we can start to be real and let God meet us at that place. I'm not saying we don't sink in it, but there is the need to, in acceptance comes change, and that's really what I'm trying to say by that slide. In acceptance of where I am, and I don't like it, and I wish that I thought I had this bit sussed, and I find when I let go of my control that there's an immature child in there. Well, I need to let God be with me in that place and learn to grow from there. But we may have problems we didn't have before because we touched that piece that was resolved in or by the flesh. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a fairly complex thing to say, but it's, and just as if you had heart surgery, It takes time for healing. Physical heart surgery was similar to emotional, spiritual heart surgery. It can take time to grow. It can take time to grieve. It can take time for hearts that have been really mad to pour their anger out and come to a place of heart forgiveness. So be patient with yourselves, with God. We don't wallow in it. We need to stand in faith as we're grieving. But we need to do both. You with me? Any confusion about that? Because it's a... I found areas that I thought I had managed. You know, I used to... For my wairim outreach, one of my SOE, I was a cook in a community. And I don't know how I managed. Because I haven't properly cooked and had hospitality for quite a period. Because as God started to work, I realized a lot that I was doing was from a place of stress, a place of fear, not freedom. And God has had to take me back to some of those basic areas of my own nurturing relationship with my own mum to be healed. And I have found it difficult that I haven't just had the hospitality and the open home and been able to do things in grace. But I haven't. But God's been working to help me connect to me. And then I believe I'll have a Jeremiah 31 home again. And I can see change coming. But it has taken time. I've had to go back to basic areas, which I didn't even know were there, because I'm not going to have enough time to do it. And I'm wasting money and doing the same thing. Oh, generational bondages. God wanting to come in there to bring freedom. I'd like to say it's happening, I'm changing. Not where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I was. So do we let God work or do we lock the old bruises in? Being willing to be in the struggles to come out again. Many of us want to go over the top. Not blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, which the Bible says. Blessed are those who block up their grief and pretend it isn't so, for they shall stay struggling. Okay. I believe one key area in the body of Christ that blocks us entering into joy is dealing with disappointment. Sounds so basic, doesn't it? So fundamental. And yet many of we don't want to admit we're disappointed. It's only a little thing. It's only natural. It's only a natural thing. I mean, I'm going to heaven. And so just focus on that. And so what we do often is deny the hurt. And we tough it through. And then we wonder why we've lost our life. Wonder why we're shut down. We haven't been willing to grieve properly, deal with disappointment. And if our heart gets disappointed, it does. And it needs to be able to grieve and able to be healed. Are you with me? But we shut the disappointment down. And we end up getting discouraged. And the word discouraged in both the Old Testament and the New Testament actually means spiritless. So we say, oh, it's all right. It's only a little thing. But while we do that, we leave our spirit behind. And then we wonder why there's no life in our Christianity and no reality in our relationship with God. It's about being real. And so when we get discouraged and we give up, we go away. We deny disappointment and we forbid feelings. I'm not having that. It's weakness. Block off the heart. Walking away. Less pain that way. Less life. No truth. We're not a prey to, you know, there is loss happens in the world. There's lack. But as we let God in, God can be part of bringing restoration. And, you know, I look at some of the things in my own life where there has been lack. It's not saying it hasn't mattered. It has. There are areas of my own life that I still lack in, and I feel a barren woman in some areas. And that's truth. And I've had to grieve over those, for God to be there with me in them, for Him to bring life out of them. Not saying it's the same as if life had been different. I have never had natural children. And the grief of not having natural children is... Well, it's still a jolly pain. And Mother's Day comes around and it's got so much easier than it used to, but I go to church, and because you open, you know, out would come the grief. And people would say, oh, having children's not. Look at all the children you've born or something, you know, you know, spiritual children. Not the same. Not the same. I'm grateful to God for his call. I wouldn't have walked another way. But I grieve. And this is true. And, yep. So it's not pretending. It's being able to let God in and be real. And that's only a tiny, weeny thing. But it's not. So, and we've all got them. So rejecting a hurt and hiding your heart away. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Stuffing away negative emotions, not knowing what to do. And sometimes that's why we don't deal with our emotions. We don't know how to. We don't know actually how to be with a heart that's hurting and saying, I'm hurting. Many times, even simply breathing. When I used to counsel and people would come in to my office and they'd be sitting there telling me about something. No breath, no life. Starting to unlock, say it like it is. And sometimes all person would need to do was take some breaths and the tears would start to flow. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the mourning process is starting, so the person can start to open up. And then God can start to come in. And then the intimacy is being established. And then God is there by his Spirit to comfort, not kept out by our stoicism. Many people use their mouths and bring their words and they talk about it. Tell me about the problem. But they're not there. We could talk till we're blue in the face about a problem, but we're not there. It's a waste of time because we're not getting access to the heart and the Spirit. And if people would start that, I'd say, hey, just get you to stop and just, and, you know, just start to, what I sense is, you know, you're not actually here with that. Sometimes, or start to teach people to come back to their heart. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And to enter into joy, we need to be soft. And hardness comes when we harden our hearts in grief and then wonder why God is not there. And God, often, you know, it's not about going on a great analysis or anything like that. Just as we start to stop blocking, then the grief will flow and the Holy Spirit will come and something will come up. Sometimes it's the most simple little thing. You might be watching a movie or something and then you have no idea what you're crying about. But your spirit knows, and God can use lots of natural circumstances to allow the grieving to happen. Don't put a lid on it and go on an intellectual analysis and stop the work. Many of us use our body as armor. We toughen our muscles. We hold in our pain and we push down our lives. And again, to come to pray for people. I've often, somebody, often on an altar call, you know, there'd be people, I can't pray. That's right. Because unless they're there, or unless, while they're, to get the prayer, they are not meaning to, but they're actually using their will to resist the Spirit of God and resist the prayer. I won't even bother trying, because we've got to get them to let go of their control so the Spirit of God can move. How many times we are holding on, holding our breath. Sometimes on altar calls I'll get someone to do the training of getting people to breathe. Holding your breath, the same word in the Hebrew and Greek, both, spirit and breath. Stop breathing, stop feeling. Harden. Take some breaths, starting to let go. Starting to let God in. Here we are. Hold your breath. Tense your muscles. Then you'll get through. Then it won't get you. Who's the keeper of my life? Me. Clench your fists. Forget your feelings. Grit your teeth. Protect yourself by your own power. I won't cry. I'm not a baby. I won't be weak. No tears for me. I refuse to give in. What might people think? Anybody recognize that one? I love it. It's another one I think that is really key for many of us. Telling myself how I feel. Come on, it's not important, Goldie. Just forget it. It's a long time ago. Don't be upset. Don't feel sad. Don't be selfish. Think about yourself when you look at all the problems of the world. put it behind you. Get on with life. And what we're trying to do, either by our will or our mind, is to get over it rather than to let God in it. Let God meet us, heal us, bring that comfort he talked about. I will comfort their waste places and make their wilderness like a Garden of Eden. Wow. It's what he wants to do. But we're going to need to stop intellectualizing and letting our mind rule our spirit. Only the spirit of man knows what's in the man or the woman. It's why I go running, how I got into this terrible problem of running. God was taking the lid off my background, my family background, and I was so shut down that I started to walk and pray in tongues. Then it got a bit boring, so I start to run and pray in tongues. And every day now I go running and pray in tongues because it keeps my spirit awake, keeps me alive, and keeps me from building up backlog. Because only the spirit of man knows what's in the man. I often think something hasn't upset me. And then something happens and I didn't know that had got me. I didn't know that had had an impact. And while we live up here, with ourselves and with one another, we're only meeting the flesh, not the spirit, and there's no true healing, so then we don't come into Jeremiah 31 joy. You with me? Good. Okay. So it's that having revelation, as you said before, seeing the light, discovering how I've taken over, coming back to God, asking for his help, surrendering my strength to his mighty power, and letting God take over. I often have a silly conversation with God about, you know, I'm just helping you be God, you know. And sometimes I'll say to him, are you feeling stressed today? Because you're carrying all the problems I carried for you yesterday. You know, if today I've let go. So, I mean, I've been a control junkie and I didn't even know. And something, that's right, must have been the day I was leaving. And, felt like, I mean, as if I did, but it felt like it. I had to somehow get this show on the road. And I could feel I had to do that, this and... And then who is getting me there? And not saying I sit back passively, but just a shift of responsibility. And instead of time pressure, I've got to be on the road by so-and-so. Just, you're here. You actually carry the responsibility to get me there. Different altogether. But I just need to keep living like that rather than... So it's, again, if we've taken control, if we've shut down, if we've blocked off our disappointment, it is that returning, taking back to my heart. Okay, taking back my heart. Trusting God to help me open my heart again and enable me to live again. Isaiah 30 verse 15, in returning and resting, we will be saved. Returning to our heart, returning to our spirit. Resting means going down, maybe out of the public notice and away from all the things that are keeping everybody happy. In returning and resting, I'll be saved. Returning to God in quietness and confidence is my strength. And from that place, life flows. But many of us have given up our hearts. We've toughed it through. Giving God my heart, trusting God to be the keeper of my heart. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe and delight in my ways. I remember God gave me this verse a few years ago, and it didn't seem very significant because I thought I'd given God my heart. Well, I have discovered since then it's not a one-off. It's nearly every day. I might be dreading something that's going to be hard. No, God, you have to keep my heart through that. You have to keep me as a living human being, open, vulnerable, rather than I'll get through it. Hardening the heart. I'll get through it. I didn't know that's what hardening the heart meant. I wouldn't have thought I'd hardened the heart, but I realized that I've hardened it all over the place. When I've toughed it through, I've tried to sort it out. I've tried to be the keeper of my own heart instead of letting God in. Okay. I believe this is key again in managing these hearts. Being with God in my weakness and my strength. I love that prayer. I believe God, I believe, help my unbelief. Owning both parts of my heart. It's the place of growth when I'm admitting that I'm weak. I'm admitting that I'm struggling. But I'm not wallowing in it. I need to be standing in faith. God, you've begun a good work in me. You'll bring it to completion. God, you're bigger than this. You'll help me, whatever. I'm standing in faith and I'm open and vulnerable with the problem. If I stay with the problem, I get overwhelmed and then it's all too big and all too hard and all too difficult. But if I stay with, I believe, I shut down, help my unbelief, and God doesn't get access to the areas that are broken. Are you with me? So we need the and. I need to be willing to be there with my vulnerability in my faith. Not in hyper faith that denies vulnerability, but not in overwhelmed that doesn't stand. You with me? I know that's a... Is everybody, shall I explain it again?
It's a bit of a balancing act.
It's a huge balancing act. Absolutely. And we can do the wallow, and there's no growth in the wallow. Ain't it awful? You know, and I'm just so with all of my problems. There's no faith to keep me anchored. But if I'm just with, God will get me through, there's no heart here that God can touch and bring healing. Does that make it any clearer? Have another go? We need the and. Vulnerability and strength of faith. The strength of faith is a spiritual thing. The vulnerability is often heart and even mind. Areas I don't understand in God's purposes. But I'm believing Him. And I don't understand. And. So that's the place God can meet me. Not me wallowing in lost faith. Or not me hyper faith, I believe you, God. And shutting down the parts that don't. Amen?
Yes.
How are you doing? Do you need to stand up, turn around three times and...